Gay Mormon Stories is a production of Mormon Stories and the Open Stories Foundation. To support this podcast, please donate today at gaymormonstories.org. All donations go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Mormons. And thanks for listening.
Do you think it's the time to switch over and catch us up on Adam?
Yeah, why don't we shift over?
Yeah.
Let's see. We left you at a low point, kind of recovering from heartbreak and feeling kind of a despair about kind of loneliness that you now really understand what you're giving up, or at least have a taste of what you might be being asked to give up.
Yeah, that's right. So that was when I went for a period of about 4 months not attending church. And I just during that time, I had the opportunity to grieve that loss and think a lot and get real introspective and also feel like, I mean, to some extent that God was still there and that he cared about me. I felt like, I guess I didn't know what not going to church might feel like, if I would feel just completely devoid of the Spirit all the time, or if I would not feel like God cared about me because I wasn't doing my best to fulfill all the commandments. And I still felt like he hadn't abandoned me. And I mean, not that it wasn't a hard time, because it was. But I came to a point where I missed going to church. I missed my friends there. I missed the sense of community. And so I didn't really feel like I had necessarily come up with an answer about what to do about my situation. But I just felt like I wanted to be with my friends at church. And I also felt really strongly that I had an experience, that I was in a position to be able to educate people in the church, and that I had a unique perspective, and that I speak fluent Mormon and I speak fluent gay. And so I'm I think in a really good position to build bridges between two communities that I care deeply about, and I am invested in the welfare of both communities. And so I wanted to go back. And I also came to the place where I had the epiphany, you know, even if I do decide one day to have a gay relationship, that even under those circumstances, I would want to maintain as close a relationship with the church that I could under those circumstances, that I missed it in my life, and that's what I wanted. So those were the reasons that I decided to go back. And that's kind of where I've been since then.
Okay, so at some point you moved, though, to Austin.
That's right. I moved in 2012. I graduated with my PhD, and I got a job in Austin, and I moved here. And I've been here for about 9 or 10 months.
Uh-huh. And you're finding your life in the church there is as rich as it was in St. Louis?
Yeah, I was nervous. I was definitely nervous about leaving the ward that I had been in for 7 years. And I did, you know, my bishop there was really amazing and just very understanding and kind, as was my elders quorum president and various other members of the ward. And so I was nervous that here in Austin that there were big shoes to fill in terms of my new ward.
Uh-huh.
But I came here, and my bishop here is really great. He's just super nice. And he just told me he just wants to be my friend. I don't feel a lot of pressure from him to conform to an agenda that he has for me. I haven't gotten that impression at all, which is really what I need. And he's just been kind and gentle and friendly, as have many members of the ward, and I've come out to a number of them. You know, I haven't made any announcements over the pulpit or anything, but in my relationships that I make in the ward, I fully expect that, you know, this is a huge part of my life, and it's something that as I develop those relationships that I want to be honest and open about. And so, and I've had an opportunity to do that in my new ward.
Okay. Is it a student ward or is it a related
no,
to
so I, it's a family ward. Ever since I left BYU, I've only attended family wards.
Uh-huh. Then you're holding a calling?
I do. I teach elders quorum.
Uh-huh. And have you, so you really haven't pursued another dating relationship beyond the one experience you had?
Not really. I mean, I've gone, I guess you could say I've gone out on dates, you know, where we've had dinner or spent some time together. But I, no, I haven't been in any relationships since then.
And since you've got to Austin, have you also, I suspect that at St. Louis, you had this group that was your graduate student group, which was a little bit more tight because you were still a smaller crowd. Have you found something in Austin that sort of fills the same role in your life?
You know, I'm slowly looking for that because I, you're right. I definitely found that in St. Louis, especially with the volunteering that I did at the AIDS center there, just made some really good, like all the other volunteers basically were LGBT.
Uh-huh.
And so that was just a really good way to meet great people. And, you know, I'm not into the bar scene, so I, that's not a way that I tend to meet people. And so I do look for opportunities. I found an LGBT hiking group, uh-huh, which turns out it's 10 lesbians and me, and we go
okay
hiking, but but it's been fun, and I've met some really great people there, and I'm going camping with one of my friends that I met there in a few weeks, and so yes, I am making those connections too. And I also like to, every once in a while, I get crazy and decide to invite my Mormon friends over and my LGBT friends over and have a party where
time
I'm mixing demographics.
Okay.
And it does my heart good to see people from groups that historically may have been at odds, like in my living room sharing paninis together. And there, it just, it makes me think that if people can do that, that I can find this resolution within in me, and the gay and the Mormon can get along within me. And that's really what I'm looking for, because I want to give space to both of those things.
And have you kept a connection with North Star or with any online forum?
Yeah, I still am friends with the people that I've met in North Star and keep in touch with them. And I drop in on the Facebook, the North Star Facebook group occasionally, and have interacted with people there, definitely.
What about the more, you know, the affirmation, for example? Haven't looked for a place there or looked for connections there?
You know, I did attend an affirmation meeting once in Houston with a friend and really enjoyed it. There's not a group here in Austin. I really like the direction that Randall Thacker has been taking with affirmation. I feel like they're more inclusive in some ways.
And more in line with what you're doing with your life right now.
Yeah.
Than they used to be, I guess, is trying to affirm people who are trying to find a place within the church, but who aren't necessarily committed to a lifetime of celibacy. And is that where I'm hearing you're at?
Yeah, I guess I don't know whether I'm practicing celibacy or abstinence right now. One of the two, but...
And so how do you distinguish those two things?
Well, I mean, all I know is I ain't getting any, so...
Okay. One is a policy and one is a sad reality.
Well, one's kind of like a life choice versus what's going on right now. Right.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like, a priest signs up to be celibate for life. I mean, I don't know. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I just want to be. I guess priorities have really shifted for me in terms of, I used to see that question as the defining question of my faith and my spirituality, was what I did with whether I ever had sex or not. And I've kind of put that on the back burner. And I, to me, what I really want, what I really feel like my, what I want to put my energy into is building bridges and bringing people together that wouldn't historically be together, and finding space, safe spaces where people can discuss this openly and be a social support to each other and an emotional support, and build friendships regardless of differences. That's really kind of what I believe in and what I'm about. And the rest of the stuff, I feel like it will work out. Whatever happens with it, I feel like I can accept whatever happens.
Okay. Do you have any fears about if you were to encounter that scene? I mean, your friend Brian there, he decided to put himself out on the dating scene. Obviously, you haven't taken a step like that. Have you thought about it, or is it really just this isn't the time in your life where you really are going to pursue actively?
I guess I feel like I could spend a lot of energy worrying or agonizing about that choice of to date or whether or not to date, but I feel like I would need, first of all, a guy that I'm interested in, which I guess you could argue that I'm not putting myself out there, so maybe that's I'm not finding someone like that. But yeah, I kind of am just, you know, I go to work and I come home and I play my guitar, and I guess that's kind of how I see my life. And whether dating will be a part of that or not, I don't feel the need right now to actively pursue that. But
yeah, well, this may not be the majority, but there's lots of people who just live their lives and they end up meeting somebody in the course of whatever it is they're doing in their lives. And depending on what space you're in, that might happen to you. And it kind of happened to you once when you weren't looking when you met this first guy that you fell for.
Right.
But it also makes me want to ask, or at least observe, that you must be good in your skin. I think that a lot of people are desperate for a relationship really because they're feeling a big lacking. And if maybe part of the reason it's not a compulsion for you is that you're good in your skin, you're maybe not lonely, maybe you have enough community that you're not sitting home suffering, and you're also, you know, happy with yourself. Is this a correct guess from my end?
Yeah, I can relate to that. And not that I don't have times that are lonely, because I do. And it is sort of easier and more natural for me now to focus on friendship and finding friends. And that, I guess, has been my focus. I don't feel like I'm really consciously avoiding dating. It just hasn't, I do feel sort of I'm settling into this sort of secure place. And part of that has been trying to work on accepting the possibility that I may be single for the rest of my life and what that might look like. And so I have spent some time just introspectively thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more comfortable with that now than I would have been years ago. Okay. So yeah.
Well, it sounds healthy to me, that your approach. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it, and I'm not saying yours is the only one, but I feel optimistic for you that it'll go well in whatever finality comes. But the fact that you're open to a number of possibilities. But I do have one more question on that for you, that is this. Do you think some gay people in affirmation, for example, will really tell you that they feel that they have gotten guidance from God and a spiritual confirmation from God that really affirms the relationship they're in, either with their husband or their wife or their partner? And I just wonder, I just want to ask you, since you're clearly have a testimony of the church, do you see that that is something that is a possibility? Do you believe them, or do you at least feel open that God could actually guide you into a gay relationship?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel that personal revelation is just that. It's personal. And so for me, it would be, I would not be comfortable telling another person that God did or did not tell them whatever thing that they feel spiritually led to.
Obviously, I'm not asking you to judge them. I'm more asking you to apply it to your own, to yourself,
to me,
as an example.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Revelation for me has been kind of a Brother of Jared process, and that it's me asking questions to the Lord, and then the Lord coming back with questions, and so I feel like the Lord
wants you to think of a solution.
Yes, I do feel like that. I feel like I miss out if I just expect the Lord to give me the answer to everything. And so I feel like it's kind of up to me to figure that out. And I'll be honest, I feel like I don't have a lot of answers about stuff. But I'm trying to learn to be okay with that and embracing the questions, and living with those questions and investing in the dialogue. Meeting other people and having those experiences where I feel like I can be in a place where, should answers come, that I'll be ready for them. But yeah, it's kind of what I feel like.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. And I think we'll have more to ask you, but I think we need to bring Brian up to the present now.
All right. I guess we left off when I told my parents I was going to start dating in my first date. So,
and if I'm putting that together right, you said it was 2010
or
11.
Yes.
And so you must be starting medical school about that time.
Yes. So it was 2011. I was during this time period of starting to tell people that I'm gay and making these decisions was my first year of medical school. And just as it ended was, which is probably why I was waiting till June to actually go on a date, was my first summer break between first and second year.
Okay. Not much time until the breaks.
Yeah. This definitely had an impact on me during first year. I mean, and actually my whole medical school experience, you know, a lot of time and energy and thought and emotion and feeling has gone into this question of what do I do about being gay?
Yeah. I know how that is. That's when I went through all that, and it was not the best possible time to be trying to turn your life upside down while you're trying to survive 60-hour, 80-hour weeks at school. But
but at the same time, it also gave me an opportunity to, you know, meet more people and find friends. I mean, I have a class of 48, and a lot of us are quite close, and I went through kind of one by one to all the ones I'm close with and pulled them aside at some point and said, I'm gay.
Okay.
And, you know, to the point where, like, at a couple of the last ones, it was like, oh, and we're talking about something, and in order for you to understand what's going on, let me just tell you, by the way, I'm gay. So it's kind of a shift.
It's getting more nonchalant.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, and like I had gone to the GSA group. I went to Pride for the first time with, we have a group from the state health department that does vaccinations at Pride and other similar activities here in Arizona. And I kind of got to go kind of in disguise because I was.
You could pretend you were just there as a medical professional.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, most of my friends that went with me at that point, I had told them, but like, you know, I wasn't really out publicly, but I went to Pride and you know, it was kind of an eye-opening experience. But mostly I just was, like, astounded there were so many people that were gay in Phoenix. I mean, that's kind of been, like, my whole, like, every step of the way, like, I keep thinking I'm the only one or I'm one of just a few. And at that point, I kind of was like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of people in this boat. So
when all of a sudden you're seeing thousands at once in your own city. Okay.
Yeah, and it was neat to, you know, have that experience where you're providing some kind of medical care and making a difference in the community. And one of the physicians there was like kind of has been a mentor to me since then. And yeah, so I started dating. I actually, like, one of the first guys I went out with that first like couple of weeks, I started dating quite seriously. And it was not the best experience. At first it was, I really liked him, we got along really well, and then it just kind of became a disaster. And I've seen that a lot of that came out of me, you know, I think I was a little desperate to not be alone and find somebody. And I was doing this at 30 years old, but like probably more on the emotional intelligence level of a 14-year-old.
Well, that was certainly your dating experience was equivalent to your average heterosexual 14-year-old. So it's not surprising if you had a topsy-turvy time at first.
Yeah, and I think when, you know, I just mentioned this because I think this is an experience a lot of people have, you know, when you're all of a sudden you find yourself not, I kind of simultaneously lost my community. I lost feeling like I belonged in the church, even though I hadn't really made that decision. It felt like that was kind of forced upon me by my, you know, when I made that choice, that was, I didn't feel like I was giving up the church, but I felt like everyone else around me would have interpreted my actions as that way.
Uh-huh.
So I was feeling alone and vulnerable, and I found someone that cared about me, and I kind of just jumped onto that real quick, and it really was not the best experience. And I stopped going to church. He was also a Mormon and was very angry at the church. And I had not intended to completely stop going, but I didn't go for a while. And thankfully that ended relatively quickly without going into all the details. But so that lasted maybe a couple months. And even though, like, I felt kind of horrible after that, I still felt this incredible hope that I could find somebody and have this, like, lifelong relationship. I still wanted that. I still felt like it was possible. I was still glad that I made the choices I had. And in some ways, even though it hadn't been the best experience, like, I had loved this guy, and I think he loved me, and that was really great and a positive experience. And it kind of at least made me feel like that was actually a real possibility. It no longer was a theoretical thing, I guess. So
there was someone you could actually kind of fall in love with.
Yeah, I fell in love with someone for the first time, and unfortunately it didn't go so great, but at least had
we have to have a few failures before we succeed. And it's not a full life if you haven't. So you might feel bad about it, but I hope you will just put it in the category of an experience you really needed in order to really make something succeed in the future.
Yeah. So,
well, and the thing is too, like, gay people don't have the experience that straight people have during their adolescence because they come out later. So they don't experience dating or any of these things that, you know, they're
boundaries
kind of
dating, new experience of dating, the feelings of dealing with jealousy, basic things that only experience will teach you.
Yeah. Right.
So, and also, I mean, maybe this is a tangent, but I feel like we have set up gay Mormons to, if they make that choice to date or pursue relationships, and I do feel that most people do that of their own free will. It's not that, like, I accidentally fell into this and I'm going to be corrupted and my life was taken over. Anyway, that's another discussion. But anyway, you know, here I was venturing into the dating world, very different environment than, you know, like when I used to date at BYU, where everything was very safe. Everything was very, the rules were clear. Everyone had the same expectations. You know, I kind of felt like I was walking through a field of landmines, not quite knowing.
And that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, and I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, when we abandon people and when we just write them off the bat, then we leave them in a place where, I mean, I felt at different points through this experience, I felt like I was worthless, that there was no hope for me. I was going to hell no matter what. So what's the point in even bothering? I mean, all these really negative ways to deal with healthy relationships.
Right.
And
you, still part of you was even thinking the relationship was basically not smiled upon by God. You were, the very act of being there was a sin. So maybe that's not the best basis for deciding what moral behavior is within the relationship.
Yeah. So thankfully, I think I walked through that. Okay. I mean, yeah. So, and after having one experience dating, I had a better idea of what I really wanted. And I had some confidence that I could be a little more clear about what I was comfortable with and what kind of relationship I wanted, who, instead of just the first guy I thought was cute, you know, maybe finding someone that shared some of my, you know, feelings about life and expectations and stuff. So,
well, in the end, that's going to be pretty important.
Yeah. So anyway,
well, sometimes I lament that there isn't a gay dating scene of people who really are committed to just maintaining a Mormon model. Maybe there's some people out there who should be dating and not having sex till they're in a relationship. Maybe the rules we grew up with might work for us better in coming out in the gay community. But where do you find someone else who...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I started to realize... I mean, I kind of knew this whole along that I was in control. I set the boundaries. And I did, I mean, pick up some of those messages from the church. But it is very interesting to go from... Like, I was on... Like, I wanted to meet people, so I was on a lot of different message boards and had conversations. And I was just shocked at how, I guess, forward people were. Like, it was... I mean, and that's kind of the stereotype we put on people. Like, we expect that. But at the same time, I also found people who were very respectful, who were kind, who actually wanted to go to lunch and meet me and not, like, invite me to go meet them on some dark street. I mean, it does go on. But, like, I met good people, and I appreciated that. Anyway, I can't even remember what my original point in all of that was. Yeah, so...
The perils of dating when you're first coming out. Well, first coming out is hard for a gay person because the middle ground is hard to find. And the reason it's hard to find is because of what's available to most gay people when they do come out. Because the forums or the online forums or the gay bars, and these places are hookup places. And so it's, in a sense, hooking up, but... When people knock off all their other rules, and it, then for some people it becomes about sex, and of course they're going to be a presence there, and then that's going to appear to be that's all that's there, and it's not all that's there because there's a lot of people doing a lot of things besides hanging on online sites and gay bars, but it starts to appear like that's what it's all about in the gay community. To people at first, especially when they first come out.
Going back to this idea of terminology, I feel like we set this up from the get-go within the church. We don't, as Mormons in general, we don't like the word gay. We prefer, supposedly we prefer the same-sex attraction. And here's my little, like, two cents on that subject.
Okay.
So I feel like what we do is, on the one hand, we send this message that this is only one part of you. It's just an attraction. It doesn't define your whole being, which is kind of good, I guess. And then you add some of the negatives in that it's something to be controlled that will take over your life. And it also, I feel like it diminishes all the good things about a relationship. And so my experience, which you talked about before, was I started to see that there were all these good things about these relationships. There were people that were committed to each other. There were people that were like building a life together. There were people with these careers in medicine and other places that, you know, their life was about service, and being gay was not like in contrast to that. It was, you know, very much a part of their lives. And so in the church, like we like almost, I mean, that's kind of changing now and people are using the word gay more, but you know, at least when I was growing up, gay meant all of these negative things. And so we kind of diminish gay to just an attraction on one level, but yet interpret if anyone makes a certain choice, we then define their whole character based on that. So
yeah.
If you decide to have a physical relationship or even an emotional relationship with someone of the same gender, all of a sudden that is the worst thing you can do. And my one friend says that he used to think he was worse than the Sons of Perdition because at least we could talk about them, but we couldn't talk about the homosexuals. So, I mean, so when you're coming from that background and you start dating, you know, here you have all these messages that you have no value, that your choice has basically equivalent to turning away from God and giving up everything good. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, I feel like it's kind of cruel that we then expect people to make some kind of good or healthy choice in that kind of situation. I mean, in addition to all of the abandonment and judgment that is inflicted upon them. So,
yeah.
How's that for my spiel on terminology? Well,
good soapbox. Excellent soapbox.
Sorry.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. No, that's it's a good perspective, and that's exactly right, because at some point you need to be able to interpret your relationships free of the homophobia and the internalized negative messages you have and negative feelings. And so it is a barrier for you to a successful relationship, specifically for that reason, because there will be this element that'll linger for a while of that this is, you know, a sin, or that this is, even if you are no longer convinced of that, there is a part of you that's going to feel that for a while, because that's been internalized so long, and any kind of shame you might have had about it. And it can, people can adopt society's shame in how they look at their partners, and they might, you know, there might be a perfectly wonderful person that they have a great affinity with, but if they're not masculine enough, they can't fall in love with them because they have this sort of homophobia that's coming from themselves, and they project it onto the other person, and or things like that. There's a million, you know, unhealthy sort of processes that can go on that we have to sort of work through that involve overcoming our homophobia. And I have to do another little shout out for some of the guys over at North Star. We've talked about them a little bit, and there are some leading voices over there that I really want to point out that are really changing their message about that. And, you know, I've been listening to them lately, and there are people over there who are saying, you know, let's not obsess about the label. We do need to accept this part of ourselves. And not only that, we need to affirm, embrace it, and celebrate it. Even if we're not choosing to act on it, we have to just see the good that we are because we are this way. And so I see that even within the faithful community, there is a movement. And even with a lot of the influential voices within the faithful community, a lot of whom are at North Star, that is the message that they're starting to spread, and I'm really happy that they're doing that. I mean, Adam, yeah. is that kind of where you're at too, that you embrace this part of yourself and see yeah. that not only for yourself, but really that you suggest that for anybody who's in the church and trying to feel positive about their being a Mormon and a...
Yeah, I mean, for me, it has been important to figure out what being gay means for me. And I'm just so impressed with the gay people in my life and the gifts that they have. And I think gay people have superpowers. Like, I just see so much creativity and so many just unique aspects of gay people and the gay experience that I really treasure and connect with in the group. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay. So I think that's a really positive move in the general narrative that's out there now, that's getting a lot more attention, a lot more voice, even within the faithful part of the gay, Mormon gay scene. So
yeah, I think you're right.
And then there's also a parallel move on the less faithful part that we're seeing in organizations like Affirmation towards becoming more faithful. They're taking a stance of affirming gay relationships, but they're really trying to promote a place in the church for people who are going to be in gay relationships, which is a change. You know, affirmation didn't have room to even have an idea like that not that long ago. But now there really are people who are finding a way of maintaining a connection to the church even as they're in same-sex relationships. Brian, do you see yourself ever going there, doing what Randall Thacker does, attending church with your same-sex partner? Or yeah, has your belief evolved in a way that you don't really aspire to that?
No, so that was kind of where I was thinking I'd go next. I like I said before, I had never really intended to just stop going to church altogether, but you know, I had kind of gotten in that situation. And then after I got out of that relationship, a few months later, I felt like I wanted to. It was actually over Christmas. I went to a Christmas carol, which is not overly religious, but I felt like I had a religious experience for maybe the first time in like four, like 6 months or something. And I like was almost in tears at a Christmas carol. And I was like, okay, there's something missing in my life. And I didn't really mean to give this up completely. And I want to make it, I want to try and hold on to that. So, you know, things have really shifted. Like all these things that you mentioned, like I think they were all just starting to kind of come together. So this was maybe like a year and a half ago. And I feel like there's been a tremendous amount of shift in the last year. But anyway, so I didn't really see how it was going to work, but I was like, I want to go to church and I'll see if I'll make this work. So I went to my ward and I put my membership request. I had moved and I had graduated from the singles ward. So it was time to, well, I guess maybe not. Anyway, it was time to get my records into a new ward. And I didn't want to just like sneak into a ward. There was part of me that just wanted to continue as I had before as a full member and pick up like where I had left off. And so I asked for my records to be moved into the ward. And I had the strangest feeling as I was filling out the form, because I was happy to be there. And yet in some ways I felt like I was just basically signing up on the path where eventually I would be excommunicated. So I've had some mixed feelings that first day going back. And I didn't know anyone in that ward. It was downtown Phoenix. I was kind of from the East Valley Mormon town, like outside of Phoenix growing up. So it was all new and I didn't really know anyone. And I just felt really out of place. But I still wanted to hold on to those, like my Mormon life. And I had some positives mixed in with all of that uncertainty. So I didn't try and go like for the full 3 hours every week for when I first came back, because I thought that was a little bit too much to bite off in one, or too much to chew in one bite.
Yeah.
Whatever the phrase is. So I tried to make it work and I just really wasn't feeling like that was going so great for me. I felt conflicted when I went. I felt out of place. I felt like if people really knew my story, that they would very quickly not be happy to have me there. And while this was going on, I had signed up at one point on this like gay social / dating Mormon site called Core Invictus.
Okay.
Which, when I signed up, was like pretty much empty. There was hardly anyone on it. So I totally forgot that I was even on there. And then I got like some kind of notification or message, and I was like, oh, I forgot about this. And there was a guy here in the Phoenix, Arizona area who wanted to just get a bunch of us together that were on that site. And I thought that was really cool.
Okay.
Because I was like trying to step back into coming to church, but just feeling really alone. And I was really excited to meet some other gay Mormons. Because the last time I had done that was in the Evergreen group, where they were using the 12-step manual.
Yeah. But when you went to Core Invictus, you're saying it was empty. Are you saying just the Phoenix room was empty, or just the whole site seemed empty?
It was when the site first went live, and there just was not many people on it yet.
Okay. Do you have a sense of how that's evolved? Is that site?
Now there's like, I don't know, like maybe 40 people in the Phoenix area that are
on Core Invictus.
So it's grown, and there's more.
There must be then even more than that in Salt Lake City, assuming if it's really an active presence.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't spent a whole lot of time on there talking with people.
Okay.
outside of that one interaction, really.
Yeah.
So I missed the first one because I was busy, and then they went on a hike, and it sounded like they had a fun time. So, and then they set up a barbecue in the park. So I went to that, and I met some really nice fellow gay Mormons. And some of the guys, I had been to Affirmation a few times, but it was back when I was really not thinking I was going to date, and I felt very, like, I don't know, it wasn't exactly a church-positive setting at the time, so I had not gone back except for a few times, and there was an age gap. A lot of the guys in the group are, like, 20, 30 years older than me. But anyway, so some of them were there. It was nice to see them, and there were a bunch of guys my age, and it was just nice to have lunch in the park. And one of the guys that had helped bring everyone together had said he really wants to make this a regular thing, and we should try and do this like every month or something. And I was like, that would be so great. I would love to help out. Here's my email.
Yeah.
And little did I know that after, like, kind of saying, sure, I'll help out, he would get a job offer in China and was gone, like, within a few weeks.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I really, really liked that. And I had tried to start that group back when I was at ASU I'd started to ask the leaders, and it hadn't gone anywhere. And
right.
I had wanted to do something like this, and I was really excited. And this guy that had helped coordinate had said, I kind of said, you should try and keep this going. Why don't you meet my parents and maybe they can help you? So,
the guy who went to China.
Yeah. The guy who left for China. Yeah. So I went over and met Bryce and Sarah Cook, and I was, like, kind of nervous to meet them, 'cause I hadn't really, outside my family, hadn't really talked to any Mormons about this gay question.
Yeah.
So I went over and sat in their living room, and they were just very kind and loving, and this was still relatively new for them.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in their living room and telling them I wanted to help do this, and they said that they would love to have us come to their home. And I just remember being so surprised that they would make that offer, and I was like, well, are you sure? Like, if I just invite any gay Mormon I know in Arizona, like, you're okay if we all just show up at your house? And they were like, yes, yes, we want you to come. So that was in, like, May or March, April 2012, last year. And we decided we were going to go ahead and do this. And I went on Core Invictus and told all the people that had come to the camp out.
Uh-huh.
Phoenix Affirmation has a listserv. Even though the group of people that actually go is small, there's actually quite a few on the listserv. So I messaged there. I messaged North Star. And I don't know. I tried to just reach out to a couple different places. And we started. I mean, I really wasn't planning on this, but with the invitation from someone who then just disappeared and, like, being excited about it, I was like, okay, let's do this. And so now, for almost a year now, we've had a gay Mormon group that meets on a monthly basis. And, you know, all these experiences I had going to PFLAG and the community center groups and even, like, the Evergreen group and North Star and especially the Gay Christian Network, like, I just felt like there was a way to approach this that would extend an invite to everyone in any situation to come together, like, as fellow Mormons.
Yeah.
At this member's home. And it was very, like, kind of a proactive effort to be like, this isn't, 'cause up until that point, almost every experience I had in a gay Mormon setting, there was some kind of tone or message or expectation about your life choice on this subject.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I had liked about the Gay Christian Network, is that they kind of set that debate aside and made it about finding support and friendship and even faith.
Community.
Yeah. So I wanted to do that with this group, and it's been kind of a challenge to do that. And there's resistance kind of on both sides in our gay Mormon and LDS communities.
It's polarized. I
mean, it's very polarized. And surprisingly, even among those of us who experience same-sex attraction or who are gay, it's sometimes very hard to get like even just the people who use the word gay versus the people who use words SSA to come together. Because in some ways we feel threatened by each other, whatever side we're on, because we've set up this whatever dichotomy where it's all or nothing. I think we kind of like are afraid to engage with the other side because either we'll get pulled over to the other side, or that somehow by being with them or engaging with them in a friendly way, we're endorsing their choice as right. So I think that it's been really neat to try, at least try, to create a setting where we just have said our goal is not to endorse any kind of ideology. Our goal is just to bring us all together. And as I was trying to come back to church and be an active, like at least more active than not at all, I was really struggling. And finding this group has made it really for the first time in my life to feel like there's a possibility of continuing to embrace who I am as a Mormon and the things I believe in, and also embracing this part of me that's gay. So I still really struggle going to church. I've moved again, and I feel like it emphasizes the conflict in my life sometimes, but it's these people that have been willing to show that they're kind and loving and accepting of me that have made it possible.
Yeah.
To set aside some of that conflict. And I think you might have kind of asked earlier, I've had kind of a shift over the last few months. Up until like recently, I just wanted to be accepted and welcomed at church. And in some ways, I found a community outside of the church that supports me in my life. And so that like desperate wanting to belong is not quite as strong. And my beliefs, I feel like they have taken a hit. I mean, it's kind of difficult to put yourself directly positioned against the church's teachings on this subject and not feel like there's some kind of dissonance there. But I still have had some positive experiences with church. I have all of these positive experiences prior to this. And so even though I may have some like difficulties with connecting with, you know, maybe leadership or fellow members in some levels, like I feel like at my core, there's still a connection there.
Yeah.
And some shared belief. So, yeah. And I mean, you asked Adam the question earlier about people having personal revelation, and even like affirmations recently approached, like a lot of them feel like they've been called by God in some ways to the work that they're working on. And I think I have huge like walls up around anyone who claims to be guided by God, but just because of my own experience. But yet in my own way, I can't help but feel like we've had help in our efforts to reach out to people here, and that there is some kind of movement in the last year. I mean, with the Mormons marching in Pride and Mormons building bridges coming around and the Empathy First. And I mean, a lot of these things you've talked about in other podcasts, you know, all of a sudden we're in a place where there actually is a dialogue about the Mormon gay experience. And even the church with their website has come out and somewhat given a green light for us to all be talking about this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like there's huge steps that still need to be taken to really show, like, I mean, I still myself don't feel fully comfortable going to church, and it's not because I don't believe or because I like of all of those problems. It's just, I genuinely feel out of place and almost like not safe in some settings. And I would hope that some of that will change. And I think it is changing. And, you know, like I listened to Adam sharing his experience and how he's had all these different experiences and thoughts, and really, like, I would just love it if we would allow everyone to explore and come to an understanding and seek out knowledge, have experiences, and recognize that this is a tremendous sacrifice that is asked of people. And it seems very casually like, oh, just don't have a same gender relationship. But the implications of that are huge.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't even acknowledge that. So if we could just acknowledge that for people and, you know, really offer some respect and understanding for people who are in that position and make any kind of decision about it. I mean, I feel like there's so often like we're so quick to just be like, well, you know what's right and wrong on this. You should do this. And there's absolutely no understanding or compassion about it. And like, definitely there's a shift towards that with the new church website and an invitation to come together. But, you know, up until now, and I apologize if I'm rambling, but, as my experience, having gone through all of this and felt so alone at different times, and then to watch the church fight so strongly against gay marriage and yet offer no support whatsoever to people like me in my situation, like, it's really hard not to feel hurt by that, that, you know, we can hammer on this principle of what's right and wrong to such an extent that we're going to fight against the rest of society to some degree. And yet no one, for so many years, no one could even stop for a minute to really understand how I felt in this experience. Even when, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, but even when I was committed to everything the church taught me and that path that they expected of me, even then, no one could talk about it without telling me what I should do, judging me for even having questions. And I just feel like if you're going to pour that much energy into combating this concept of, I mean, we've drawn a line and said, we're going to fight against the gays, and we need to, I just want there to be some kind of acknowledgement. And that's what we're starting to see, that there are gay members of the church, that there are members of the church that deal with these issues. There are families that have, you know, sons, daughters, siblings who have these experiences. And we're finally taking a moment to really have maybe a chance of some understanding and compassion for this. So, yeah, that was quite a long-winded narrative there.
Well, no, that was beautiful for you to, you know, tell us how you feel. That's the point of doing this interview.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I didn't really intend to get involved on any kind of activism with this. I mean, my journey's been just trying to figure this out on my own, but it's been such a positive experience to meet other members who have invited us into their homes on a regular basis. I mean, we have every range of situation in our little group here in Arizona, and, I mean, up until the last couple of weeks, we were able to round out the LGBT. We had a transgender Mormon come.
Okay.
And I just think it's been so powerful to, you know, every one of us has a story. And I don't think I've met a single person that doesn't have some kind of heartbreak when it comes to these issues.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly healing to have a shared experience and to do it in a way that's in a Mormon context. And I want to see more of that happen. And, yeah, so that's kind of where I am with everything. So.
Well, that's a great thing you're engaging in there, and I think that it's helping a lot of people to provide that community. And it sounds like both of you have a mission that's attached to your Mormonism to really improve things, not just for yourselves, but for the whole community. And that you're seeing this as part of your mission that God brought you to in your relationship to Mormonism. So that is a very positive step, in my opinion. So let's tie things up, though, by just letting me ask you if you have any final words or any, you know, if you want a chance to talk about your testimony or tell us where you're at with that, if you like, or tie it up in any other way. I'd like each of you to give me your final 2 cents.
Sure. So, just real quick, since I didn't mention it. So out of this group that we've been having, some of us decided that we want to reach out on a broader scale. So we're having a conference here similar to some of the other ones that have happened. And Adam has kindly agreed to come be one of the panelists. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, cool.
And that kind of ties up where I am with this.
Do you want to give some details real quick in case I get this out in time preceding that?
It's April 27th on a Saturday, and the website is allarizona.org. So A-L-L Arizona, all one word.
They can get information at that website.
Yeah, allarizona.org for Arizona LDS LGBT is our all acronym. So
okay.
The purpose of the conference is to bring people together who are connected by these issues. And our two main goals are to reach out to LGBT members of the church and show them that there are people who want to be loving and accepting and invite them to come be with us. And our second goal is to provide members and leaders of the church to come learn about those of us who are LGBT or experience same gender attraction. And we hope that this will be a chance to really kind of kickstart things in this area for understanding and compassion. And it's been neat to go back to all these organizations that I've found so much support from and to let them know what we're doing here. And I hope that this will bring a lot of people together. So,
well, that's, I wish you a lot of luck with that. And
yeah, thank you.
Sounds like it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. So to tie that up into my summary, I like Adam says, I have a lot of questions that maybe don't have answers yet, but I have found a lot of peace in my life. We didn't go into this, but I am dating someone now I really love and care about. And I hope that we can make that into something that lasts for a lifetime. And I still feel very conflicted in my belief system. And yet I have this sense that there's someone that cares about me and there's some kind of meaning to our life. And I'm just in that process of really trying to figure out what all this still means. And I'm really glad to be a part of maybe making a difference in some other people's lives so that, you know, like me and Adam went for so many years without even talking about this. And we even lived in the same apartment. I really hope we won't have to go through this alone and that they'll find some compassion and love from their fellow members in the church and that they'll know that there's others like me and Adam who are there for them. And I also hope that that continues to be a source of strength for me because it's really carried me through some challenging times to find these people that have reached out to me. So yeah, so thank you for having me on the podcast. And
thank you, Will. And Adam?
Yeah, just amen to everything Brian said. And I'm as difficult as this road has been, it's been an incredible blessing to have people like Brian in my life and to share the path with. And I've just enjoyed the friendships I've made, and they've gotten me through. And I hope going forward that we can all come together despite differences and really express our love for each other and make safe spaces for people like us. And that's my hope for the future.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I really appreciate that. And it's beautiful that you do guys get to have a parallel experience that goes back so far. And it is a lucky thing, but it's also a nice thing that you guys have found a way of giving support to each other and supporting not just the similarities in your paths, but the differences in your paths. And that is a nice example of really the kind of support people need from their friends. And I really thank you for sharing, and I really am excited for the projects you're engaged in and to see the results in that. And I really hope that we do see these changes that have started really come to fruition. And it's been really, really wonderful to hear your stories, and I can't thank you enough. So you take care.
Thank you.
Good luck with your career paths. Good luck with your family paths and your community paths, and I hope that each one takes its correct place in each of your lives.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you for joining us today on Gay Mormon Stories. To discuss this episode with others, please check us out at gaymormonstories.org. If you want to see this podcast continue, please consider making a monthly donation, again at gaymormonstories.org. All donations go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Mormons. Music for this podcast was donated by George Parkinson and Kelly Clark Parkinson. There was something in him.
Of me, thou hast.